You're listening to Reading Writers, a podcast on the joy of reading widely.
Hey there, welcome to this week's episode of Reading Writers, the first of our best of series. I'm Aaron, and with me today to introduce our best of moment is my wife, Emily.
Howdy.
So today we are talking about a topic that came up, or a point that came up in one of the very first episodes of the show. Was actually episode 3 with Barnabas Piper. Mm-hmm. And Barnabas is an interesting guy because he is a man who really embraces and embodies, I think, a healthy kind of curiosity. He is interested in the world around him and not content to just read the same kind of book all the time.
Is he paying you to say these sorts of things about him?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just making sure.
Although he's welcome to buy me coffee.
This post has been sponsored by Mr. Piper.
No, we don't have sponsored posts right now.
We don't.
No. Because we'll get kicked out of the country.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That's right. So,
tell me more about Barnabas Piper. Because I've heard of him and he seems pretty famous. So I'm just kind of in awe that he actually was willing to go on your show, considering what a household name he is.
Well, you know, everyone's got to start somewhere, right? And sometimes people help out the little guys. I mean, we know he's got his multimedia empire with his Happy Rant guys and whatnot. So,
that's right. And what an empire it is.
Absolutely.
They've got mugs.
They do.
And t-shirts.
They do.
T-shirts with mugs on them.
Anyway.
Mugs with t-shirts on them.
Stop.
Okay.
All right, so Barnabas is a great guy. He's one of my coworkers at Lifeway, and he has a very interesting take on curiosity in general. He's got a new book that's just coming out called The Curious Christian. One of the things that we talked about was, what does it mean to say that you like a book? And that's something that is often misunderstood, because usually what do we think when someone says, I like this?
That they like it and like generally have positive feelings about it.
Yeah.
And maybe would have agreement with the content.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not always the case, is it?
No, it's not. And so let's listen in as Barnabas explains the difference between liking something and agreeing with everything in it.
Okay, let's do it.
When I say I like a book, I feel like, especially talking to Christians, when you say you like something, people take it as a moral recommendation. Those are not the same thing. Maybe I should use the word appreciate so that people have some sense of nuance. But like, I like a lot of things that I recognize are morally reprehensible in terms of like literature. Gone Girl, for example, is a horrific story about horrific people doing horrific things. But I think one of the things that good writing does is show just how horrific those things are. You asked what is something that I am reading or have read that would surprise people. One is the Game of Thrones books. I think that's The Song of Ice and Fire is the name of the series. Some nerd out there will be able to correct me and will be gleeful to do so, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Nothing about those books is redemptive. They're awful, content-wise. But that's why I think they are amazing, because the context is a world in which literally every single person does what is right in their own eyes, is angling for themselves, and it's a game of who comes out on top. And everybody who tries to do the right thing dies. So actually, in the end, almost everybody dies. But that, to me, is something that I look at and I go, that's incredible. That's an incredible sort of depiction of what a world could be like. And can I recommend those books? Not in a blanket way, but I can say that I really liked them, and I can say that they're pretty profound and amazing if you look at it through the right lens of just in terms of what does this say about this world, this strange world where these battles are happening and these conflicts are and these characters are. And I think anytime you read fiction, you have to do that. You sort of look at it and go, what's their world? What's their law? What's their moral? And you kind of work backwards from there in some ways.
You know, thinking about this theme of the lack of redemption in books, I think this was actually one of the things that I found fascinating about even a series like The Hunger Games, which I don't even know why I read those ones. I think it was because a coworker told me to when I wasn't reading a lot of fiction. And so anytime someone challenges me with something, I tend to do it. Don't test me on that, though, please. But what I noticed in those books was that, you know, there's they follow a very standard kind of structure, but when it ends, it's just very bleak and very hopeless. Even in this supposed semi happy ending where no one is a particularly good person in terms of their moral quality, and no one is really you have a hard time rooting for anyone.
Yeah, and those were a little bit more difficult because they tried to have redemptive characters. Because I feel like there's a movement in fiction, and movement might be too strong, but it seems to be a trend where flawed characters are kind of all the rage. So think like if you wanted to take it to TV, you think like Jessica Jones or Daredevil or even Iron Man. You know, these are profoundly powerful heroes, but their flaws are what make them interesting. Mm-hmm. Whereas like Superman is not as interesting to most people these days because he has no apparent flaws. The problem is that authors try to overcome those flaws in ways that can't actually overcome the flaws. Like the Hunger Games ended, and it was a really disappointing ending to me. I thought the stories were, that the context, the setting, the plot, the characters were all intriguing, and the end was just flat because you can't have a redemptive ending with all of those flaws and nothing that actually resolves the pain and the brokenness. And maybe that's the point. Maybe the point was we can't fix this, we can only start over kind of thing. But a book like even the Game of Thrones books, I feel like the pain is the point. And I like that because it's an author essentially being honest. They're not trying to give you a pseudo happy ending. They're just saying, we don't know what the answer is. This is what was left after that story happened.
What do you think someone is going to get out of reading a book like this? I mean, this is difficult subject matter. It's really heavy stuff. The characters are not likable or redeemable really in any significant way. There's not a lot for some people to really invest in and engage with because all the good characters die, but there's still something there that's worth us reading it, isn't there?
I think it depends on what you go in with. Part of the reason I don't feel comfortable just sort of throwing it out there as a recommendation, hey, everybody should read this, is because there has to be a level of understanding what you're getting into, as well as just sort of mental and even emotional, spiritual kind of preparation for the ugliness you're about to see. Just like not everybody could be a surgeon because it would make them, you know, they would turn their stomach, but certain people can go in there and you know, open up a body and take out a tumor or you know, heal a compound, or not heal, but bind up a compound fracture. That's kind of like reading these books. Like there's a certain kind of mindset that can do that. The other thing is you have to know your propensity for temptation, because if there's a lot of sex depicted, a lot of violence, a lot of profanity, is that going to be something that ruins you? I think books are safer on that front than, say, movies, because they're not putting images in your mind quite the same way. But you do have to be conscientious. But I think if you go into it and you're willing to say, this is not for me, what you can get out of it is just a deep, deep sense of the brokenness around us. And I realize you don't need books for that, but books can provide a safe way to encounter something that is not safe to encounter in real life. A taste of death, a taste of betrayal, a taste of dishonesty, a taste of selfishness, whatever it is. And so you get like a sampling of those things in a way that if you encountered it in real life, it might destroy you. But it can actually help prepare you for real life because you begin to have to process through that. But a book is only as good as how much you think about it. If you're just a passive absorber of books, you'll get something out of them, but you're not really engaging them, and it really ought to be an engaging process.
All right, and that was Barnabas. And listeners, I hope you found that little piece of our conversation really, really helpful. I know that when he and I first talked about this whole idea of really understanding that there is a difference between saying that you like something and saying that you find something morally praiseworthy are two very different subjects and are two very different things. that you can actually, that you can like something about a book that you may disagree with on some significant issues. I mean, it's possible to enjoy the writing style of someone who you disagree with on just about every point.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible to find the world or the setting of a story very intriguing and engaging when you find one of the characters completely repugnant, or even just being fascinated by the idea of a world in which essentially every character is trying to out-evil the other characters. So listeners, I hope you found this helpful, and we'll be back next week with another Best Of episode, this time featuring Jared Wilson on why it is important for us to read from other cultural perspectives. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Reading Writers Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a review and a rating on iTunes. Your reviews help other people find the show. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/AaronStrongarm. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/bloggingtheologically. And for more content, please visit bloggingtheologically.com. I'm Aaron Armstrong, and I'll be back next week with a new episode of Reading Writers.